Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast, where we've got Rory McIlroy leading the PGA Championship by one stroke after shooting a 5-under-65. Tiger Woods, 4-over-74. Best of the Aussies at this stage, Cameron Smith, who shot a 2-under-68. Lucas Herbert is 2-under through 8 holes. Now, Dick Fain tipped us Will Zalatoris the other day, and he's in the clubhouse one shot off the pace. We are at St Michael's Golf Club.
Snowing.
Here at Little Bay, it's the New South Wales Trainers Association Charity Golf Day, and it's raining. What would you say out of 10? How heavy is it,
Clark? I'd call these ideal golfing conditions.
In what regard?
In regards to go straight into the bar and drink yourself through 18 holes, because you are not playing in these conditions. This is drink at 8:08 a.m. straight in there.
Several carts going out to their respective starting
holes. That green's flooded.
Oh, no.
See, this is my point. Where are the covers?
I told you. It's a cheap exercise. Daly's not going to come back in.
Loz is stuck in the toilet, I think, because there's not much cover to get from... Oh, no, there he's there. Undercover.
He refuses to walk in the rain to get back to the
truck.
Doesn't
want to wet that hair. Yeah, oh. I like his thinking. Yeah, it's not ideal. You know, I'd like to say there's a break in the cloud, but looking over the ocean, there's zero break. This is nasty. Nasty golf day. But... you're still going to play. You're not going to pull the pin, are you, Middo?
Ask me in half an hour.
What do you mean? You're thinking about piking it?
No, I want to play, but look at this.
It's for a good cause.
Yeah, it will be a great day. There it is. The rain's just easing off as we speak as Daly comes back into the truck. And we're going to speak to Chris Waller shortly and get the rundown on a few of his best runners for tomorrow across the country. He's got runners there at Doomben. Of course, he's got runners everywhere. It's Chris Waller, as we know. And you've got a filly, a Brazen Bow filly with Chris, which is trialling this morning as well, Clarkie. So you can catch the trials, of course, on Sky Thoroughbred Central or the Racing New South Wales website. Pretty Wild is the one to watch. If you're just tuning in, Clarkie's horse trialling this morning. Loza, what the hell's going on?
Boys, it was just pouring with rain and I wasn't
out there,
going to get myself wet because it would mess up the hair.
You found the toilet, though?
Found the toilet. Ran into a couple of blokes I know. Got into a couple of conversations.
They still going to play?
Well, the blokes I was talking to were thinking about going to the bar.
Well, you've already taken the day off work.
That's exactly right.
So you may as well.
Well, that's what they said. They said if it continues like this...
straight to the bar.
It's an easy decision.
What about a bit of putting or something in the bar, like a putting comp?
That's a good idea.
Something
when
like
it rains,
that.
Minnow.
Indoor putting comp in the bar.
So how are you going the wet?
Well, it's not going to help me.
I was going to say, as you go to the dry.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you like playing? Look at the water on that green.
Yeah, it's trouble.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
You know, I said it's a bat first day.
Yeah.
Change my mind. I think I want to bowl. Don't think I want to bat in these.
Well, you'll be playing cards either way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
Anyway, no, they'll all have a good day regardless, Minna.
Tell us about your multi, Loz, courtesy of Sticky Wings.
Well, this is what we're doing. We're going to race 6, number 9, Dukari to place, into race 7, number 3, Elias.
He's that voice again.
Elias. Top 2.
Gets
and that's
into
paying
the love
$10.
Song, love song dedication voice.
So there we are. There we are.
He's just seduced us all here, hasn't he? So there it is, $10 on the Tab app, the Tab website. Click on sport and today's offers. Tonight, the West Tigers up against the Bulldogs and Parramatta against Manly. Two intriguing games as round 11 kicked off last night in Newcastle with the Broncos winning 36-12 against the Knights. Game was in the balance at 14-12 and then Selwyn Cobbo scored a contentious try. Where we thought there could have been an obstruction against Adam Clune in the build-up, but Katoni Staggs made the break. Selwyn Cobbo finished it off. Two guys who were going to come into big-time origin contention, Loz. But this game tonight, Parramatta and Manly is the main event, but so intrigued about this Tigers game against the Bulldogs.
I'm nervous. Honestly, I don't even want to watch it. I just want to see the result at the end of the game, and the Tigers, even if they win by 1 point, I don't care. I'm so nervous for Madge. I pray to God the Tigers win.
Well, there's no Addo Carr. He's out.
Yep.
Good.
So
tick.
That's a good sign for the Tigers.
Yep.
These type of conditions, you want a good kicker. Hastings is a very, very good kicker
good
of
kick.
The ball,
yep.
So you can get a bit of field position. You don't want to spend too much time bringing the ball off your own line. So that'll be very important tonight. And then defending, just defending, forcing errors. You know, you wouldn't think there'd be a lot of points in this game, and neither team are renowned for scoring a lot of points. Mm. You know, I think they're averaging, what, less than 10 points a game, the Bulldogs, and at times the Tigers' attack has been very pedestrian. So you'd be thinking unders, you'd be thinking tight game, and toss of a coin job.
Well, we're lucky enough now to be joined by Chris Waller. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morning, listeners.
Tell us about the current weather conditions there at Rose Hill.
It's dry. Yeah, it hasn't rained for a week, but I don't think next week will be quite as dry. Looks like rain's on its way, to tell you the truth, which is a bit of a shame.
There you go. A bit different to Little Bay at the moment, where it is absolutely pouring. So hopefully then that could help if it can just stay away, can help the prospects of the track there tomorrow. But we wanted to ask you first and foremost, Chris, you have a brazen bow filly with the bloke sitting next to us here in the ownership. Pretty wild to trial this morning again. Tell us about her. How excited should we be? Should we just park our probably overly high expectations, considering it's Clarky, and we know he's going to have beginner's luck.
Well, very promising. Simple as that. Unbeaten at this stage at the races.
Yeah, give him nothing, Chris.
Matter of when we pull back the covers and let her rip. So, yeah, she's slowly making progress, and I'd expect her to trial well this morning. And if you really wanted to win the trial, I'm sure we could just about make that happen as well, because most of them don't trial the trials, but it's a good stepping stone. But no, we're well aware of the ownership group. There's a lot of pressure on it. We've got to get it right.
No pressure from me whatsoever, buddy. Just do your thing. She'll be good.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. I haven't got a jealous bone in my body, Chris. But I just get the sense that this kid's going to have a bit of luck.
Wouldn't surprise us, would it?
No, not at all. He has plenty of luck, let me tell you.
Dearie me.
Chris, 1 month until Royal Ascot. Describe how difficult an exercise it is to travel a horse.
It's really hard. Simple as that. Just like a person travelling, but horses are controlled by the climate and the weather and season. So, well, probably more so season. So it's like they get jet lagged 6 months. They're sort of wondering why it's hot in England and they're expecting cold weather here in Parramatta. So that's the first challenge. Second is just that it's not just like us. Well, Michael Clark lying down in first class.
Don't you jump on the bandwagon as well, Chris. My God, I cop it enough from these two.
That outstanding.
These boys are like the rest of us. They've got to travel in economy. And in fact, worse than that, they're standing up in the aisle the whole way. I think they stop in a couple of different countries, and it's about a 30 to 36-hour trip. So it's full on, and horses don't travel as well as people, but the key is getting the work done here, which is what we're doing gently, and then have them well prepared so that they can basically button off when they get to London and just have an easy time. And then that sort of, they arrive sort of 12 to 14 days before they race, and then just have one solid breeze up just to make sure everything's working and get the oxygen flowing, and then the job's done, really. So it's all about just being prepared to make sure that they can recover from the journey.
Yeah, Chris, I was going to ask, I guess, like us, is there any little tricks of the trade? Again, if they're, you know, is it better for the horse, for the plane to stop rather than, you know, going directly, for example, or, you know, we talk about, and we joke about it, but being in a different class for us, it can make a difference in regards to how quickly you can recover or taking fluids on or, you know, making sure you're hydrated, whatever it is. Is there any little tricks that makes this travel, I guess, a bit easier on the horse?
So did you just stop at the Maldives on the way?
Mate, normally it was Bangkok for an hour and get back on.
I was concerned then for a bit.
That's it for an hour.
It's a really good question. But look, we can't even fly out of Sydney. So it's a real challenge from a quarantine perspective. Fortunately, Australia and New Zealand don't have many diseases, and the horses don't have to quarantine before they go and when they get there. So that's great. But stopping in other countries would mean they have to, so they can't leave. They'd stop on the tarmac and then they can't leave.
Can't get off. Okay.
That's the biggest challenge. So otherwise, yeah, it would be good to stop and split the trip up. So they've got it. Once they're on that plane, they're destined for London. And it's as simple as that. So, yeah, rehydrating them is very important. And so all we can do is just rely on rest and recovery and just doing as little as possible. And they don't get off the plane with the head between the legs and knackered. They're pretty good. They're finely trained athletes. And I don't treat the 52 stubbies on the plane. they're pretty good, but you just hope nothing goes wrong because there's not a minute to spare.
Well, I'm sure they'll do Australasia proud, a nature strip and home affairs, and can't wait to see how they go, Chris. But tomorrow's racing there at Rose Hill, we're looking at the feature there, the Lord Mayor's Cup, a race you've won before, and you've got four chances in, including Elias the Wagga Cup winner, which Loz has in his multi. Apologies in advance for that. But out of Irish Sequel, so you win Elias and the front man. Who are you, I guess, thinking that's probably best suited to the race tomorrow?
I think if the rain comes, I'd change to Irish Sequel. So he's a good wet tracker. He did beat Elias two starts ago on a wet track, but Elias set him cold last start on a good track. So if the rain is coming, so I'd be leaning towards Irish Sequel there.
And in Brisbane, you've got, quite a few taking on Azaki. Who is best placed there to potentially cause an upset?
Yeah, it'd have to be a big upset, but Polly Gray, especially again, if the rain comes up there, which it's expected to do, she loves the wet. And did run second to Zaki last start, but yeah, she'd need to pull something out and run a career best race to beat him.
And just another horse anywhere that you've seen its work this week and thought ready to go and put its best foot forward for a win for the punters on Saturday?
Just desperate to see these trials this morning and talk about these young horses. They're the ones of the future. They could just be the next week. Who knows? All the owners are so eager.
Oh, just stirring it nicely, isn't he? Oh, dear.
This is going to be so...
I can't believe Loz is fuming. He's fuming. Look, I can't believe you... What, you can't wish bad on my horse.
No, I'm not wishing bad on yours. I just...
Wishing bad on me.
I just know you're going to have luck. I know. I've got a feeling.
Well, Chris, we were...
It's all in the trainer. You know, you told me it's all in the trainer. So we went for the best.
No pressure, boss.
No pressure.
If Clarky ever rings you, you've got to let us know, Chris. Yeah. Just, you know, the conversation.
Hey, Chris, I'm looking forward to the day.
Thank you. That's the only reason I'll be ringing this.
Is it time for a tongue tie, Chris?
Yeah. And I'll be looking forward to the day when she makes her debut with Clarky or strut into that Ram Wiggle Rose Hill or the Mounting Yard or somewhere.
Yep.
We'll do 30 laps.
I can't wait. Helicopter. Might get the chopper in. Land on the course.
That's sick.
Chris, appreciate your time. Know you're busy. Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, and I hope everyone has a great day at the golf today. It's a great cause. What is it? The Orange Sky. It's a great cause. Great idea. Great.
Yeah,
everyone's all about money these days, but just doing a little simple thing means so much for so many people, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well said, mate.
No, great call. Thanks so much.
Good
Chris
job, Waller.
Boys. Good on you, Chris.
Chris Waller there. And yes, if you're just tuning in, we're at St Michael's Golf Club, the New South Wales
Good turnout,
Trainers Association Charity Golf Day.
Especially for these conditions.
And a little bit
it
of rain.
It stopped.
But it stopped. There it is. We'll be fine. Roger Rashid, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Now, this French Open, ready to start. And, I guess the big boom player in the last, several months, Carlos Alcaraz, the young Spanish player. Is it too soon for him, Rog? What are you expecting for him at this tournament? And I see that Djokovic, Alcaraz and Nadal have all landed in the same half of the draw as well.
Yeah, look, it's an exceptional major championship, the French Open, because it's on clay, so it's physical, mental. There's so many more elements that there's a different way that you've got to play tennis and types of shots that you hit on a clay court to get rewarded. So, and this young man you're talking about, Carlos Alcaraz, who's coached by Juan Carlos Ferrero. So Ferrero's he's been number one player in the world from Spain, and great work ethic. And, you know, he's just got a game where he's prepared to step out on a major court against the big players and stick his chest out and throw everything at them, and has not hesitated any time he's been on a court with the guys. And his winner in Madrid, I mean, to beat Rafa in Madrid as he did, and then go on and continually win that tournament, defeating Novak in the next match, then beating Zverev. I mean, that is an extraordinary run to win a Masters 1000. So at 19 years of age, there's energy, enthusiasm, and a willingness to actually play big tennis at the big moments. And so, yeah, he's in that top half with Novak, Rafa, and himself. They're the three key favourites going in. You wouldn't think a 19-year-old is a favourite with the other guys, but Novak was in great form winning in Rome, and then Rafa's probably had a bit of an up and down clay court season. It hasn't been his traditional clay court season. There's no doubt about that. But when you've won 13 times here at Roland Garros, anything you wouldn't put anything past Novak. But I'm looking forward to that. That's a quarterfinals matchup. We don't normally get two of the all-time greats meeting each other in the quarterfinals of a major.
Roger, is Nadal fit? I feel like the last couple of tournaments, he probably hasn't been at his best, but even some of his comments, he's had a few niggles. And where's his body at, do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Clark? He's one that carries little niggles quite well. You know, there are people that actually do play well with it. You know, they can hold injuries and actually play through. As you would know, and then there are others that don't actually deal with it at all. Well, Rafa's one to do that. I think now he's definitely carrying some form of foot injury. But I've had my guys on the ground that I've spoken to in Paris who have actually been watching Rafa live on court. He trained to almost a packed stadium the other day, a couple of days ago. But they said he's moving pretty well. And it's interesting, once you get into a major, as you know, and the adrenaline's different. You've been there and you've won it 13 times, so it was a ridiculous number. You know, it's amazing how you can just go to business, go to work, and Rafa's been one of those people that's been able to push things aside and just go to work when it's mattered the most. And I think there was more maintenance going through the clay court season more than anything, knowing that if he could win one title through this whole clay court season, this would be the one he'd want.
Rog, with those guys being on the same side of the draw, it must open itself up for someone on the other side. Who's best placed to take advantage of that?
It does. Medvedev's coming, you know, he's playing his first major. He missed a bit of tennis through injury, and he's the second best player in the world. He was number one. He toppled Novak. He's a major winner. Is it his preferred surface to win the way he plays? He hits the ball flat through the court? Probably not. Tsitsipas also is the probably the next one who won in Monte Carlo, Masters 1000. That was our first big clay court event of the clay court season, and he's been in really good form, consistent form right through the course of the clay court season. But Tsitsipas he's been finals of majors. Medvedev's won majors, so there's opportunities there. But you'd really, all of us, I think, the three at the top, because
we've lost Rog there. A bit of a dodgy connection. We'll try and get him back, but it just feels a bit empty going into the majors without Ash Barty, doesn't it?
Certainly different.
This is our first one.
Well,
since
we're excited
Ash
because the Australian
retired.
Was always, well, we in thought contention. That in contention. Mm. Yeah. You know, we always thought that we'd have an Australian there in that last week and, you know, maybe a quarter final, semi final, and anything could happen from there. But it's interesting for those three guys to be on the same side of the draw.
Well, I don't like it. You can't do anything about it. But like you want to see the best two in the final. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, I know it makes a semi unbelievable or a quarter unbelievable, but I want to see the best two players generally in the final. Yeah.
Well, this is how the markets reacted this morning. Djokovic $3 out to $3.25. Alcaraz has been $2.75 to $3.25. Nadal, $4 to $5. And Tsitsipas, who's on that other side of the draw, has been $8 to $6 to win it all. We got you there again, Rog?
Yeah, sorry, boys. I've just moved up into the Adelaide Hills, so I might
just played. Hold that aerial a little wider, buddy.
Exactly. I've got one of those Elon Musk antennas.
We're just talking, Rog, on the women's side. I mean, we're just a bit flat, I guess, heading into a major without Ash Barty and Iga Świątek. Gee, I'll tell you what, she's taken advantage of Ash's retirement. She is on fire.
Yeah, we are, I think, from an Australian perspective. We go into the majors now and we're talking about Ash and her ability to win them, number one player in the world. So there's so much hype around. It's interesting, you know, that to not have her in the field. But as you said, Świątek's been able to grab hold of that baton as the number one player in the world. And she got it, obviously, by default, being the number two player, but with Ash pulls out and she wanted to be removed out of the rankings. And then, you know, but... wow, has she actually played like the number one player in the world? 28 straight of match wins, 5 titles, successive titles. Definitely the clear favourite right now going into this championship. And Krejcikova, who's the number two seed, she's a defending champion, has been injured, so she's back. We're happy to see her playing again. She loves the clay courts of Paris. They're a different type of clay than anywhere else in Europe. And so it will be interesting to see what she does, but probably a little bit too raw for her as far as match play to upset Świątek. But I think that's where it's going to come from. I'd be very surprised if she doesn't continue on her run.
We're going to speak to you throughout the tournament, but just before you go, fearless predictions. Who wins the men's? Who wins the women's?
I like the story. I want the story where Rafa moves 2 ahead. he's one ahead. And then he creates the big chase for Novak and see how good he is. And so I'm going to lean still with Rafa. I like him, and he's got his back against the wall. No one better to watch with back against the wall. And I'll obviously sit with the number one player in the world in Świątek. I think she's currently just a step ahead of everyone else.
Thank you so much, Rob.
See you, boys. We'll speak on Monday.
We've got Robbie Slater coming up shortly in the Premier League this morning. Everton got themselves out of all sorts of trouble and they beat Crystal Palace 3-2, having been 2-0 down at half-time in that game at Goodison Park. So they're safe from relegation, 4 points clear of the drop zone. Aston Villa and Burnley finished 1-1. Chelsea and Leicester also 1-1. So heading into the final day, Burnley and Leeds, both on 35 points. One of those teams will be relegated. Burnley ahead on goal difference as it stands. Now, also in the PGA Championship, McIlroy in the clubhouse, 1-shot lead. 5 under par 65. Best of the Aussies as it stands. Lucas Herbert playing well. He's 3 under through 10 holes. And Cameron Smith shot a 2 under 68. The great Tiger Woods, a 4 over 74. In his opening round there. Now, we hear at St. Michael's Golf Club, and this text here, ooh. Loz, make sure you get Finchop on, one of our loyal listeners who's...
we saw him earlier.
We saw him earlier.
Tidying up the greens.
Well, he just texted through, and he said, good to see you, fellas. Can't get back up there. The boss won't let us back on the course. Too wet. Good luck out there. And gave us a tip at Morfordville as well. Race 9, number 7. Energy within. The Chop.
Love the Chop.
With the mail. Race 9, number 7 at Morfordville.
I got a tip for that yesterday.
You kidding? Same horse.
Another secret?
Well, what does this say?
You keep it to yourself?
Well, I wasn't going to mention it, but now I will. What does that say?
From a mate. Tip from the stable, Morfordville, Saturday, race 9, number 7, Energy Within, which is, at that point, a huge price. What price is this thing?
Well, it was 46 yesterday.
It is $26.
Oof. Why always a secret with you?
Tom Dabney trade.
No, because they hammer me when it loses.
Mate, just give it to him.
Okay, so if this thing wins, Finchop takes the credit. If it loses, we're blaming Lots.
Yeah, they're good rules. I like those rules.
Tell us your multi, Lots.
Multi tomorrow. Race 6, this is at Rose Hill. Race 6, number 9, Dukari to place into race 7, number 3, Elias, top 2. That's paying $10. What are you laughing at?
Sorry, I'm just reading that text. Loz, just put Clarkie's horse in your multi. That'll stop it.
Actually, I'll do that.
You will.
I will. First time at race. She races.
Oh, God.
Are you eligible?
Do I come across as jealous?
Nah, you're not jealous. You just, I know what you're doing. You couldn't care less. You're just taking the piss out of me. But no, I think, of course, you're like, mate, come second. Don't
tell
win.
You what, I'll be riding off your coattails if she's anything like
this. Oh, you're coming with me? You're coming to my first race?
Well, I'll see you. Good cheers for this.
Yeah, you're coming. Oh, there you go. You coming in the chopper or not?
I'll wait. I'll tell you what.
You want to see if she's good?
If she's good, mate, I'll be with
then
you.
Then you'll be coming. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
I'll be hunting up the tickets and everything. I'll be on the bandwagon.
Come on, girl.
What about this one? Willow from Windsor. Are you eligible to win prizes at this golf day, Middo? I remember your story of being nearest to the pin at a golf day, not allowed to collect. That's a real sore point. And I'm seeing a tab umbrella, which means I can't win. Don't worry, not that it would be in any danger anyway.
Well, you did get something. You got a few backpacks.
Yeah, I did.
So you got something out of it. You just didn't get your cash.
Robbie Slater is coming up, so we'll just get a hold of him, but coming up shortly. But tonight, markets in the NRL as it stands, and then we've got the Tigers slight favourite. In fact, they've affirmed the Tigers, $1.55, the Dogs $2.45, Parramatta $1.42 against Manly $2.90. Jamie Rogers, morning to you again.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Loz, I'm going to be with you. Clarkie, I'm going to ride off your coattails if your horse is any good, because I reckon you will get beginner's luck. I have the same feeling as you, Loz.
Yeah.
He's just got a good one, you can just tell.
You just feel it,
yes.
Jay, don't you?
But
you know?
Jamie's been supportive the whole way, even when I told her about it.
Nah, Jamie's
she was
like
supportive.
Me. She's nice to your face.
No way.
Come on, Jay, I'll be honest.
I will admit, I will be very jealous if you do have beginner's luck.
Yeah, mate, don't think happy. He won't be jealous.
No,
he'll be jealous for sure.
We all will be.
Fine, Middo's with me.
Mate.
He's supportive.
I like people who win.
Yeah. I want you to be successful, just
told.
No more successful than me. That's what Middo is. I'm happy for you to come second, Clarkie.
But I don't know anyone that goes, oh, I'm happy for you, mate, that really means it.
I do want you to be successful, but no more
you
successful.
You won that $80 million Powerball last night. Jeez, I'm happy for you, mate. Yeah, slipping some. Yeah. Give me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then if he doesn't, you're an arsehole.
Oh, so true. How selfish is he? He won't even share.
Won't even put on a drink.
Yeah, he won't even buy us a drink. Just won $80 million Powerball. Won't buy us a round.
You see, go that Vegas trip. Vegas?
Oh my God.
Jay, what's going on around the traps?
Boys, we have a new world record holder in Zach Stubbletty Cook. He won the 200-meter breaststroke last night at the Australian Swimming Championships. He did it in 2 minutes and 5.95 seconds. So he was our gold medalist in Tokyo. And keep an eye out, Kaylee McEwen, who is our backstroke gold medalist as well from Tokyo, is on today at the swimming as well. And in the basketball, boys, today's going to be really interesting. It's game two in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm intrigued to see how Boston will bounce back. And when you look at the stats, they won three of the four quarters when they lost in game one, but it was just that third quarter where Miami just went with it. Jimmy Butler finished the game with 41 points, but what is a boost for them, Al Horford has been named for Celtics to be returning, and Marcus Smart also looks like he will be playing today as well. So they were definitely missed in game one, and they did look like they were in a bit of disarray in that game one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back. And I reckon, Jared, after watching the Heat, they certainly look like title contenders.
Jamie, where is the love triangle at with this swimming? Cody Simpson back in town. Now he's out of town. What is going on here?
Grab your popcorn, Clarkie, because this is going to continue to get juicy.
Daily Mail friends, this is brilliant. Go and take photos of them. This is awesome.
And they have. They've actually made Daily Mail this morning, Clarkie, about this love triangle. And so Carl Chalmers, boys, is the ex-boyfriend of Emma McKeon, who we all know is our golden girl of the swimming pool. She is now dating Cody Simpson. Cody Simpson and Carl Chalmers faced off in the 100-meter butterfly last night. Now, the top two go off to the World Championship. Top three go to the Commonwealth Games. Kyle had always said he was not going to swim at the World Championships next month. He wanted to give his body a rest. However, if he pulled out, it meant Cody Simpson would get his spot. So he has now said, you know what, actually, I think I will swim.
I don't need a rest anymore.
I don't need that rest. I'm going to swim. And he was actually asked by a reporter, did you take Simpson into account when you made your decision? And he said, no. That swimming is a cutthroat sport, and he basically just said, it's an individual sport, you've got to finish in the top two, and Cody didn't do that. Ouch. So
game on, love triangle, love it.
It certainly is.
Good on you, JR.
Well, I'll tell you what, there'll be more people interested in swimming at the moment than ever before because they want to find out what happens. Yes. How does it end?
Morning to you, Robbie.
Good morning, guys. Nothing like a love triangle in the pool. I'm going to follow the swimming now.
You ever been in one, Rob?
A pool or a love triangle?
Love triangle.
Oh, mate. Good old Cole Chalmers, yeah. You see where he's coming from. Good on him.
Oh, really? All right. Love now, it. This morning, I'm just reading some comments from Frank Lampard post-game as Everton saved themselves. What about this? Yeah. It's one of the greatest moments of my footballing life and career. Just tells you how desperate things must have been internally there at Everton.
Mate, the last... Since he took over, when did he take over? What, 3 months, maybe? Mate, he would have been living a nightmare. Just because he came in... He didn't really have the effect that everyone wanted him to have. You know, they were struggling. And do yourself a favour. It doesn't matter if you like soccer or not. It really doesn't matter. Just go and Google Everton v Crystal Palace and just watch the game, like the highlights. Just watch the goals. They go 2-0 down. It's doom and gloom. Looking like possible relegation. And then they score 3. And the scenes of the last one are just extraordinary. And that's what makes the EPL so good, is that it's not only about the title. The relegation race, I was in one myself with Southampton. I know what it's like and what it means to the fans. And, of course, what it means to the clubs financially. It's incredible the amount of money that just staying in the Premier League means to a club. But the scenes... of the players and Frank Lampard, the supporters stormed onto the pitch. It was like they'd won the title, not just been saved from relegation, but saved from relegation they are. They're 4 points ahead of now Leeds and Burnley. Burnley drew with Aston Villa 1-1. So they are now equal on points with Leeds United. And it's one of the two to go down, but Burnley are ahead because Leeds United's goal difference is horrendous, and that they won't be able to turn that around. If Burnley win, they'll be safe. Quite simple. If Burnley beats Newcastle there at home on Monday morning, our time, if they win, it's all over. Leeds will be relegated. If they don't win, Leeds will need to... If they lose, Leeds will need to draw or win, and they're away to Brentford. And, the way they're playing, you wouldn't say that they're going to get anything at Brentford. Brentford are in pretty good form. I think they've won 4 of their last 6 in the EPL. And they actually, in their last game, beat Everton 3-2. So, but it will go to the wire. But the big story of the morning is Everton, who looked doomed just a few weeks ago. And they've done that, the Houdini act.
Is Lampard saved, Robbie, do you think?
Well, but yeah, Clarkie. That is absolutely a fantastic question because this shouldn't mask what's happened since he took over. And
it will, though, won't it? It'll hide it. It'll be swept under the carpet because he saved it.
It might do, and it might save him. The big thing is the winner was scored by Calvert-Lewin, who's an English... who's English international. Now, he's been missing for weeks and weeks, and they have missed him. And he got the winner. And look, the one thing you can say in Frank Lampard's favourite is what all managers say when they come in mid-season or as he did a few months ago to save them from relegation. And that would have been his mantra when he came in. He would have been said, look, doesn't matter what you do, just save us from relegation. So mission accomplished. And his response to should he be replaced would be, well, I came in, this is not my team. I now have the summer to recruit. The players that I want. And so I think you're right, Clarkey. He will keep his job with the emotion of what's happened this morning. Like I said, I can't hammer it up to you enough. If you want just a couple of minutes of entertainment, just go and watch the highlights. Mm. It's just extraordinary.
All right, let's go to the other end of the table. How does it play out, Robbie? Manchester City, Aston Villa, Steven Gerrard, Philippe Coutinho... for Villa and
no such thing as fairy tales, you two, in sport.
The problem is Liverpool have a very tough game themselves at Anfield, Robbie, against Wolves.
It is. It's a tough game because there's the pressure behind it because they have to win, you know, no matter what. But they got to win. But if you look at their head-to-head, the Wolves, last six games, six wins. So they do pretty well, do pretty good against Wolves. I think they'll win. But I actually think Manchester City are going to win. Aston Villa didn't give any real sign this morning at home to Burnley. They drew 1-1. Burnley had a red card as well. So Aston Villa didn't give you a lot, sort of, as a Liverpool fan, to think that they're going to go to Manchester City and at least get a draw. Because if Liverpool win and City draw, of course, Liverpool will win the title. So Man City win, sort of a bit like Burnley at the other end of the table. If Man City win, Burnley win, Man City are champions and Burnley are safe from relegation. Leeds go down and Liverpool will finish that 1 point behind again. And what it brings into sharp focus is the 2 points dropped against Tottenham at Anfield a couple of weeks ago. They'd have won that game. They would be 1 point ahead going into this last game, but they're not. So, you know, they need a miracle to win the title, because I think Aston Villa taking anything at City in this position would be a miracle. But, hey, West Ham pulled off a draw last week, and Liverpool can console themselves a week later with a Champions League final against Real Madrid. So still a lot to play for Liverpool, and, of course, City looking to lift what would be their fourth EPL title in five seasons.
Well, we'll speak to you Monday morning after about 5 minutes sleep, mate. Thank you.
What's Clark? Yeah, what's Clarky's tip?
What's my what? Sorry.
What's your tip?
I think City's going to win.
I'm not talking about the love triangle.
I think City's going to win. I don't have beef with Liverpool either. I love Liverpool. To be honest, I just like to wind Minnow up. So pardon me for radio next week. I don't want Liverpool to win. But I'm not bothered. Whoever deserves to win will win. Oh. And again, both teams.
Football's the winner.
Well, not football's the winner, but they're both that good. Like, I love watching them both play. So it's not gonna change my day who wins. It's just gonna make me take the piss out of Middle a bit more if Liverpool lose.
Yeah. Ring it. How's your take on Pommies at the moment? Are you still down on them or?
No, I'm okay. They're ranked sixth in the world now, so I'm happy with them in regards to cricket. Mate, and they just got an Australian coach for their short form, so Matthew Mott's over there. He's now the one day in 2020 coach. So part of me has to wish them well.
Part of you. Only part of you. Which
only when they're not playing Australia.
Of course. And Lodge, what's your tip? Come on, son.
Man City, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Not what Robbie was after.
I hope you have a crap weekend.
Love you too, buddy.
I'm watching the swimming anyway. Bye.
Yeah, me too.
I'll be watching it a bit more closely.
I'll be
now.
Checking Daily Mail.
I'll just read this text out. Happy birthday, Stanley and Frosty Winterbottom and Cher. There you go. Morning, Dave.
How do I share it with Frosty and Cher?
Happy 33rd birthday,
thank
mate.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, Jared.
Outstanding.
Happy birthday, brother.
I was just having a bit of a chat with the three of you about what you guys were doing when you were 33, and I'm sitting here in the van with you blokes at, you know, St. Michael's.
How lucky are you?
You were captaining Australia at the time.
I retired at 34.
34?
One
so you
year.
Were you a dad then?
No. I retired with my daughter being 4 months away from arriving. So, no, I was married, but I wasn't a father.
Beautiful. And what about yourself, Loz? What were you doing when you were 33?
Probably on the circuit. just trying to think.
Just counting your
cash.
Well,
how old were you when you retired? 30.
30, 31.
So celebrating his career. still.
Just still. Yeah.
When did you go into...
People say, what career?
Yeah, mate.
When did you go into the calling? When did you start... Would that start straight away with Fox?
Yeah, it did actually. Is this your life? Or?
Yeah, I feel like Mike Munro. I feel like Mike.
Well, thank you, Dave. Mate, I don't even know what I was doing yesterday. It would have been working with Fox, mate.
Okay.
Would have moved to Canberra. Moved to Sydney from Canberra. Mate, that's what's that? 22 years ago.
There you go.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Now, this horse, I keep hearing about this horse.
Pretty wild.
The world's greatest horse trainer.
Oh, world's greatest trainer, yes. The horse, we just don't know. It's just Mido and Loz are winding, stirring the pot at the moment.
Who named the horse? Pretty Wild.
Not sure. Not me.
Okay. And what? So what do we know? Have we know any breeding?
Brazen Bow Filly.
Brazen Bow Filly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask you this question? Do you think he's going to
look
have
at
that
his face?
Luck?
Look at his face.
One, he'll have
so
luck.
Angry at me.
No, no. But okay. Pup is like a lot of. I reckon you get two types of owners. You get owners like maybe you and I, who would be sick for it doing the breeding whatnot. Mm. Pup at the moment has just been probably, he's had a few wines, he's been with a group of mates, and they've said, come on, you're in this horse, and he's gone,
true.
Yeah,
he's
sweet.
Helicopter to the track when it races.
Are you doing the chopper at
no,
the
moment? Do you think I would do that? Do
well,
you
I suppose think it'd be that? Cheap from Vaucluse to Ranwick.
I've got a chopper at my house. I'm going to go from my backyard, chopper in. No, I'm going to drive the mascot.
He'll drive the mascot from Bellevue.
And then hop on Ranwick. Do you think I'll do that? I'll be driving my car. Actually, that's a lie. I'll probably Uber or taxi
when
I'll be drinking.
Putters, when the horse is in, just check for road closures. There'll be the motorcade coming. The coppers, I'll have it. But what I was going to say.
You know what I've told him? I said, mate, if she can't run, I won't be coming to the races. But if she's got ability and she's good, off the coattails.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But that's what I was saying. I guarantee you if there's ability being shown, you'll see Pup just chiming in.
Yeah. No, like, that's not fair. I wanted to go to the trial today.
He'll walk in with a form guide.
I wanted to go to the trial today.
If I'm surely someone from the Chris Wyler stable is listening. I'm sure that at some point this year we get you to the stable.
For sure.
I'd have you down there talking a nature strip, you know, before you go on the Ashes campaign. I'd be going, listen, give it to those bloody pompers. You know what you said to Jimmy Anderson? I'd be pointing at the nature strip going, hey, mate, get over there and say, get ready for an eyeball.
Eyeball behind the barrier.
That's it. Eyeball.
Look into the eye.
Mate, whatever I can do to help.
The horse whisperer.
Get me in there.
Yeah.
The horse whisperer.
I have a few things. I'm not sure on that.
I'll get that out.
Whisperer. It's Rory Rackleboy.
We know how to shock it this morning.
Yeah, I heard that.
We know we had red boots on earlier.
But he was even loose. Was he distracted though, Mido?
No, not on that occasion, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
Worry Wackleboy, you caught him.
And he tried to let it go too.
Oh, no.
And Pup and I were going to let him go, but then we thought, no. He needs to be pulled up on that type of behaviour.
That's the best thing about this program, the accountability.
Yeah. And his pronunciation is normally very, very good. So when he does make a slight error, we don't miss him.
Worry.
Well, I hope the team recorded it at home, back at the studio. And then John Hale just insert it in certain points of the program. It is 9:01. He'll be giving us the fellas. I'm going to get there. Punters panel coming up. We've got Luke Marlow. We've got Simon Thanopoulos. We've got Jock Gologli. And also joining us as well on the punters panel is Glenn Munsey is joining us. We're going to chat with Pat Webster as well straight after 9. So, boys, enjoy your Friday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
The root is standing a metre and a half away. Doesn't he get a start?
He got brushed last week. Right, well, he had Berdebeck in as his leg at the punters panel. And Scone SES is still looking for it up there. So, actually, if anyone has seen Berdebeck, can you just get in contact with us?
He was quite keen on Berdebeck, too.
See you, boys.